It often happens that the tired tourist, having made it through the long galleries of the Vatican museums, takes one more turn before the exit. It leads him or her into a very modern building, the 1970s Gregorian Profane and Pio Christian Museum. Now, if the tourist perseveres, they'll continue past a series of ancient sarcophagi, 3rd, 4th, 5th century, showing stories of the life of Christ, stories of the Old Testament, until they hit at the top of the stairs this lone standing statue. Placed so humbly, placed so out of the way, it's a surprising to find out you're looking at the image of the Good Shepherd. Hi. I'm Liz Lev, and I'm an art historian, and you're listening to the podcast From Tourists to Pilgrims. The image that has been made famous from one end of the globe to the other, the image that people have seen in their religion books and their art books for years and years, there it is, nonchalantly presiding over a very secluded spot in the museums. And perhaps this is a good way to understand the arrival of Christian art. Where did Christian art first appear? Not in galleries, not in piazzas, not on big walls and public places, but it was first made for the quiet of the catacombs. And slowly, as the years went by, Christian art came out of the darkness and into the light. And when the Christians were ready to proclaim their story and their Savior, they chose this image, the Good Shepherd. Why would they choose such an image? Because it could speak to many people all at once. If you will, the ancient tourist and the ancient pilgrim alike. For Romans and for Greeks, the sight of that figure, a young man in a short tunic holding a sheep over his shoulders, it would have meaning for them. The Romans would look at the figure, and what they would see is philanthropy, the willingness to take another person's burden, civic or economic, on his shoulders. The Greeks looked at the same image, and they saw the guide to the underworld, the Hermes Psychopompos that would make sure the soul made it to its safe haven. And the Christians took that image and they fused it into the shepherd who was there to carry the burden of sin, continuing that idea of goodness, but making it even more universal. In order to make us understand how Christ could carry the burden of the sin of humanity, they gave the figure the features of the god Apollo. Any tourist walking in will recognize that fine line, that aquiline nose, that elegant face, which is typical to the images of the Greek gods. And what an effective way to point out the divinity of Christ. At the same time, the Good Shepherd would have evangelical meaning, speaking to Jesus' references to himself as the Good Shepherd who will leave the 99 sheep on the mountain to fetch that one lost lamb, images of the incarnation. And then he could speak to the shepherd who knows his sheep and they know him, the shepherd who will lay his life down for his sheep and who can take it up again, the image of Christ's death and resurrection, encapsulated in one figure that would have meaning for so many. the most wonderful part of this Good Shepherd is his name. The word kalos, used to describe that young man in his short tunic, a word that describes not only good, but true and beautiful. And therein we have the great message that the pilgrim wanted to give to the world, the image of a Savior who comes into the world to bring the beautiful truth of the good news, and an image that could be spread far and wide, a pilgrim image to go out into the world.
You've been listening to From Tourist to Pilgrim, a podcast written and narrated by Liz Lev, produced by Johanna Bronkova and Mara Micheli.